All right, here we go. Closer to episode 300, recording a little before 11 a.m. Eastern time on Friday, April 26th, with a look back at round one of the National Football League draft, and one area specifically because the combination of what 31 teams did does not equate to what one team did and define the 2024 National Football League draft until further notice. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group would like to remind you adult males who are residents of the state of Florida and who continue to pay permanent alimony. July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony was eliminated from law in the state of Florida. But unless you get in front of a judge, it doesn't change for you. Reach out to Brandon Legal Group to reduce or potentially eliminate future financial obligations related to permanent alimony in the state of Florida. Free consult 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Brandon Legal Group is your full service law firm. Pin Chasers. And I know Anthony Peroni of Pin Chasers, always a captive audience on the first round of the National Football League draft, part of why his sponsorship continues through the National Football League draft of my podcast. Pin Chasers has so many specials daily, late evening. When it comes to unlimited bowling, combined with, say, unlimited pizza or cyber bowling or drink specials or dollar food and drink specials, find Pin Chasers on Instagram for those specials. Go to pinchasers.net for those specials. Also, pinchasers.net for specific information on their four locations, including their newest location in Brandon. Pinchasers.net is also where you can make lane reservations or get the party started on party planning at Pinchasers, something I give away at my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Pinchasers, bowling, food, and fun. Email for podcast purposes, right.todd@yahoo.com. I could and might in a future podcast talk about the other 31 National Football League teams as it relates to the National Football League draft. We still have six rounds to play out over the next 2 days. Again, recording this before 11 a.m. Eastern time on Friday. But nothing, until further notice, nothing defines the 2024 National Football League draft more than Atlanta at 8. What's interesting about the previous podcast I did was I talked about that spot because last year in that spot, I accurately identified that's where the talk of Bijan Robinson begins, because I made the case Atlanta at 8 is the first spot where Bijan Robinson could be selected. He was not in the mix the first 7 spots. Atlanta had gone offense the 2 previous years with their first pick. And I talked about, despite what some thought about what they had existing at running back, how they could go Robinson at 8. It was correct. I was also correct in that, despite it being one of the bigger givens out there beyond Caleb Williams, that Dallas Turner would be the first defensive player off the board at 8, that I wasn't buying it. And I wasn't buying it from the standpoint of drafting that defensive player there did not equate to the value of the draft pick, especially with the likelihood that one or more of the big wide receivers and or Brock Bowers and or quarterbacks would be available at eight, that Atlanta could just do more with the pick than, I hate to say it, settle for taking Dallas Turner at number eight. The Atlanta still, and we have six more rounds, they need to find a pass rush. For all the free agents they brought in prior to the 2023 season, I think it's since 2020, they're not only dead last in the NFL in sacks, they're dead last by 20 or more. And that's just behind the 31st team. So it gets just bigger when you look at the rest of the NFL. And the thought was that Dallas Turner would help them close that gap. And they're not, you can't win games you already lost in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. But clearly that's a need area. Unless Raheem Morris has a new plan to get pressure on the quarterback, since he is new now to the Falcons. But Turner didn't make sense for me there. They didn't go Turner there. He didn't go until middle of the first round. And it was the Vikings who made two deals. Vikings made two deals. Bills made two deals. And the Vikings deal for him, it doesn't replace Danielle Hunter, but it gives them someone else to work with on the defensive line who likes to play in the opponent's offensive backfield with Turner now in Houston. So let's talk about what Atlanta did. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't see it. Unlike Bijan Robinson last year at eight, and acknowledging I didn't think they'd take Dallas Turner at eight. I didn't see it. Nope. Got nothing for you. So count me among those who, as, and I watched the NFL Network coverage, as Ian Rappaport set it up, and then the panel talked about it, and then Goodell made the announcement, Penix not even in Detroit, sitting at home in Central Florida with his family, watching on television as Michael Penix Jr. is selected eighth overall, fourth quarterback off the board, ahead of J.J. McCarthy, to the Atlanta Falcons. So where do we start with this? The Falcons landed the most coveted free agent quarterback, sorry Baker Mayfield fans, the most coveted free agent quarterback this offseason when they convinced Kirk Cousins, tampering or otherwise, to leave Minnesota. Some thoughts that the Minnesota GM didn't want him back. But Atlanta obviously made a very lucrative offer with around $100 million guaranteed on a max value deal of what, $180 million, 4 years, $100 million guaranteed for Cousins to come to the Falcons and utilize all these offensive weapons that were not being utilized properly by failed former head coach and offensive play caller Arthur Smith. Supposedly, that was the end of it. It wasn't. Cousins' deal is essentially a two-year deal. I mean, you didn't hear a lot of people talk about this the way, say, I talked about the Baker Mayfield deal. Baker's was 3 years, max length, max value beyond incentives, $100 million for Baker Mayfield. But in essence, it's a two-year deal when you look at the guaranteed salary for $60 million. If you look at guaranteed when the guaranteed money, where the guaranteed money is. You can look at Cousins' deal the same way. His salary for 2024 is guaranteed, and his salary for 2025 is guaranteed. And then there's a roster bonus, like come, I think it's March 15th, that must be paid if he's still on the roster 2026. But his salary for 2026 is not guaranteed. His salary for 2027 is not guaranteed. Would they take on some dead money if they're done with Cousins in 2 years by either cutting him or trading him? Yeah, but not anywhere close to what the Broncos just did with Russell Wilson and what the Cowboys might be doing next year with Dak Prescott, what the Bucs did via the voidable years with Tom Brady. So the Falcons can move on from Cousins after 2 years. No, you didn't hear anybody say this because the thought was that they were fully invested for the 4 years. But the fact that Cousins' salary, it, guaranteed salary, is zero in 2026 and zero in 2027, as we look at the contract right now, is telling. So that cracks the door open that the plan is now we can go from Cousins to Penix in 2026, which follows the Jordan Love model from Green Bay, who sat for 2 years behind Aaron Rodgers. Cousins isn't Aaron Rodgers. Cousins hasn't won a Super Bowl. Cousins hasn't been to a Super Bowl. Cousins hasn't been to the playoffs nearly as much as Aaron Rodgers. Right? When you think of their careers, they're not close. Cousins is very highly respected, probably more for the guaranteed money he's gotten. But Rodgers, I don't know. I don't want to get into the Hall of Fame argument. We all know Rodgers is going to the Hall of Fame. I guess Cousins is going to the Hall of Fame. But until this past year, in particular, he had a very bad reputation of playing well on the big stage. Lost his last playoff game in Minnesota. Wasn't good in primetime games. Then ruptures his Achilles. What about midway through this past season? We'll get to that. But based on the structure of the contract, and we're trying to figure all this out, is it possible that the Falcons would move to Penix no later than the start of the 2026 season, because they can get away from the rest of the Cousins deal since there's no guaranteed salary in 2026 or 2027. It feels like Kirk Cousins isn't thrilled about this, and why would you be? So let me stop there for a minute. Who's happy about all this? I'm sure Michael Penix is happy about that this process is over, that he's in the National Football League. He's going to be slotted to be paid for 4 years very nicely with the Falcons option for a fifth year, which you get when you draft a guy in the first round. But is Penix happy about being benched for presumably 2 years, maybe longer, unless something else is up here? Cousins isn't happy. This could split the locker room too. And I'm going to leave that there. Because you got the veteran guy, but the veteran guy who hasn't won big. Granted, he's very, very likable. You got two very likable individuals here, right? Hard to find a bad word said about Cousins. personality-wise or Penix. It is. But this could split the locker room. If the Falcons suddenly pick your spot this year, next year, pick your month, and that offense doesn't look right, and they're losing games, you know what happens. People yell for the backup quarterback, especially when you use the eighth pick on him, when quarterbacks were in demand. So it makes Cousins, before he ever takes one meaningful snap in Atlanta, look over his shoulder. So you could split the locker room. The fans are already upset. My friend and longtime colleague Heath Klein, now working for a sports radio station in Atlanta, said on Twitter X, the whole idea, not the whole idea, but I agree with Heath, one of the benefits you get if you draft a rookie quarterback and put the ball in his hands, which the Falcons, again, don't look like they're going to do. We'll still get to that. But because they're slotted in on a rookie contract, remember, the average salary for an NFL quarterback last year that wasn't on a rookie deal was over $37 million. Look at what Houston did. So once Stroud and D'Amico Ryans and that group did what they did, now they're an attractive destination. And because Stroud isn't yet asking for his second deal, rip up this first one and let's do a second one. You have all this money that you aren't paying a veteran quarterback, and you can spend that on Diggs, on Hunter, and more. The Falcons already spent that money. So there's no benefit to paying the rookie contract of Penix because you just spent all that money on someone to presumably be in front of him on the depth chart in Kirk Cousins. So you don't get that benefit. The reverse of it is, and Gil Alexander was talking about this on VEASAN this morning, you don't get the benefit of you had the eighth pick to improve your team, to win a winnable division over the Buccaneers, Saints, and Panthers, and get a player to help you win now. Because the quarterback position was presumably filled when you signed Kirk Cousins in free agency. This reminds me of, and as efficiently as Jason Light has handled business, and I think efficiently handled the first round of the NFL draft, Light blew it with selecting Kyle Trask in the second round off the Super Bowl. A, it didn't help the Bucs repeat because you're drafting a guy who's not going to play. You have Tom Brady. How did you upgrade your team around Tom Brady if you drafted a backup to Tom Brady? You didn't. You won one playoff game. The rest of the run with Tom Brady, you went 1-2. Trask didn't help you follow up on winning Super Bowl 55. Didn't. And to this day, honestly, looks like he will never start a single game in his entire Tampa Bay Buccaneer career. Second round pick off the Super Bowl. So you don't help your team now, and you don't get the benefit of having a starting quarterback under a rookie deal because you have someone else. You say, well, look at Jordan Love now. Yeah, it took a while to get there, didn't it? It looked good at the end of the season. In Thanksgiving, early December, it didn't look good at all. So there's still work to be done there on a very, very, very young team in Green Bay. Is Cousins medically ready to start the season? So I'll bring that one up. When the Falcons made the move to sign Cousins in free agency, this was something that was brought up. How could they make this move this fast based on coming off a torn Achilles, which was a torn Achilles that was later last season than the torn Achilles of Aaron Rodgers, who presumably is going to be ready to go to start the year? And if the Falcons had access to the medical records, then that's tampering, and we still haven't gotten to the point where the Falcons could be penalized a draft pick, it will be in 2025 at the earliest, for tampering and with signing Kirk Cousins. Have the Falcons known for a while Cousins may not be ready to start the season? Have they known? Did they decide, you know what? We're going to figure this out, Kirk. We want you. And if you're not ready to go opening day, we're okay with that. And that's where Penix comes in. Could Penix start the season in a weird way? Is he the bridge to a healthy Kirk Cousins? But what if he just lights it up? Then how do you sit him down, right? But if Cousins isn't ready to start the season, and this has been a huge secret, if he's not going to be ready to go, then yeah, that's not good. Well, now you got someone who is ready to go. And I guess you worry about how you're going to get him out of the lineup when you need to get him out of the lineup. But I at least had to think about that possibility, because I don't work for the Falcons. I'm not friends with Kirk Cousins. And I don't have access to the medical records. But are we sure Cousins will be healthy enough to go in the opening game for the Falcons? And if not, Michael Penix is going to start the season until Cousins is ready to play. Let me give you one more, and this is odd where I got it. I have a wonderful longtime friend in my life, and I value that we are still friends because we've been through some things that challenged our friendship that were my fault. This is someone who doesn't work in the sports media business and is very successful in HR. And recently I reconnected with this person, and they even played in one of my golf tournaments, and it was great. This person appeared on a podcast talking about HR and all the elements of attaining success via HR from a company standpoint. I'm not trying to lose all of you. I'm just trying to give you some perspective, because you're probably thinking, okay, why was Todd... It was because this was my friend. So this is why I watched / listened to this podcast, to see my friend being interviewed on this podcast. And 95% of it was a foreign language to me. Much as for those of you who listen to me and can freely talk and comprehend and understand sports, what we do is a foreign language to a significant percentage of other people that don't follow sports the way we do. I don't follow the business of HR. I know two people who are in HR. This person is one of them, and then another friend of mine, HR most recently, in the golf business, actually for a golf and country club, knows nothing about golf. And that's it. I don't know how it works. Unfortunately, I was never brought into, summoned into an HR office during my career, and let's hope that stays the same. At one point in this podcast about HR, Home Depot and their company initiatives were brought up by my friend. It was not the focus of the podcast. It was used as an example. And what was quoted in the podcast was Home Depot priorities are people, planet, profit. And I remember even texting this person at the end of the podcast, and I asked a follow-up question that related to the Falcons and Kirk Cousins based on that comment. If you don't know, Arthur Blank, Home Depot. People, planet, profit. In the podcast, it was more about, the whole point was Home Depot does things that they care more about people and our planet than they do about making more money. Of course, if they're not profitable, you're not in business. But the point from this HR podcast was Home Depot has a very strong commitment to treating people the right way and the planet the right way. And if it costs them a few bucks to do that, so be it, and they are respected for it. So my follow-up question to the person that brought up this example in this HR podcast, 95% of which, probably more, was a foreign language to me was, is this also how Arthur Blank runs his football team? And another reason why he threw so much money at Kirk Cousins, because no one doesn't like Kirk Cousins. You can argue that Kirk Cousins doesn't win enough playoff games. You can argue that Kirk Cousins doesn't win enough primetime football games. Beyond that, no one seems to dislike Kirk Cousins, especially those that watched him on the Netflix series about quarterbacks, because people are important to Arthur Blank. And that Arthur Blank did his homework on and met Kirk Cousins and said, that's a guy I want to work for me. Maybe Arthur Blank felt the same way about Michael Penix Jr. Because a decision like this, the owner has to sign off on it if it's not his idea in the first place. When you're dealing with these high draft picks and as it relates to quarterbacks, the owners are significantly involved. So I think Blank had a lot to do with the Cousins signing, and I think Blank had a lot to do with the Penix pick, because you keep hearing about this plan of succession as well. That maybe at some point this past season, Blank threw up his hands and said, what are we doing? Why don't we have a quarterback? I mean, they did use a high pick on Ritter. Didn't work. They brought in Heinicke. Didn't work. Wasn't good enough. Just they didn't have him. Well, now you got two of them. People, planet, profit. Did Arthur Blank value the personality of Cousins and Penix so much that it influenced both decisions here? Is Cousins ready to start the season? No guaranteed money, no guaranteed salary in Cousins' deal in 2026 and 2027. A lot of factors here. And And there's probably a lot more I don't know about. So there's what I got on it. And yeah, I have other things to say about other teams and other players in the draft, but let's face it. That was the biggest thing to happen on Thursday night. Your thoughts, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. We'll talk to you next time.